for one and one for another. With the name of love above all other. And every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is presented on Relevant Radio by Stinson Electric, your trusted electrical advisor solving electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, and joining me is
Paul Sadek.
And Corey's away today.
She's in the process of relocating.
Yes,
she is. But not far.
But we've got a great
show.
She'll
be back.
We've got a great show. We're looking forward to her return. Today we're going to be talking about a topic that really all of us face, I think almost on a daily basis, and that is, what are we going to do with the poor? What are we going to do with those who their life has come upon difficult times, very, very big hurdles in their life? We see them. And I'm curious, you know, we're going to be talking to John Tolo from Frogtown today. You've got to stay tuned, because he's going to be joined by Father Michael Becker and Peter Lee, who works with the Hmong community. And they have some exciting plans for the Twin Cities that I think you're going to want to get in on. So stay with us. And a little bit later on in the show, we've got Luke Boley. Now, here's a guy that was from Reidsville, Wisconsin, 5 kids under 7 years old. He gave it all up, his career and everything, and he's going to the Philippines.
He didn't give up his children.
No. The okay. career. Okay. But he's going to the Philippines to be a missionary as a family.
Isn't
I mean, this
great?
Is going to be an exciting show.
Yes, it will.
You know, so often, you know, people, they get caught up in what we call the American dream,
yeah.
which ends up becoming the American nightmare and bills and
it always is,
and everything
yes.
else. And we're going to talk to people today who are saying, you know what? I'll tell you what the real dream is. The real dream is serving Jesus. It's not about accumulating things. It's about changing lives. So if that's you today and you're saying, you know what, I'm on this treadmill in America right now, and if this is all there is, there's got to be more. Well, we're going to talk to people who have discovered more, and they're out there serving, and we're going to give you opportunities to join us too. I'm curious, Paul, how often do you drive up to a stop sign or an intersection and someone is standing there saying they are unemployed or they are homeless, and they're asking for money?
I see that on an occasional basis, perhaps about once a week.
What do you think most people think when they see that?
I think most people think, keep driving.
Keep driving.
Yeah.
You know, Mother Teresa commented on that one time, you know, that when we see the poor, you have two choices. One is, well, you're always going to have the poor, and me giving to the poor isn't going to change the, you know, the balance of this worldwide anyway. And the other is, she says that this just might be Jesus disguised.
Exactly.
And I cannot take the chance of bypassing Jesus just because I think that someone's going to use the money for drink or for drugs or for something else. What if that is Jesus at the intersection and he's asking for help? We'll talk about those kinds of things today, too.
Look forward to it.
It's going to be good. Well, thanks for joining us. This is the Rediscover Hour, and we're going to come back in just a few minutes with John Tolo, Father Becker, and Peter Lee.
Rediscover.
Hi, this is Paul Archambeau, owner of Stinson Electric, and we are the proud sponsor of the Rediscover Hour. Stinson Electric is a Catholic, family-owned company that serves the electrical construction and repair needs of local businesses, churches, and schools. Our faith and our motto of quality, integrity, and service guides our business decisions every day. For small projects, troubleshooting a circuit, or installing an outlet or light fixtures, we have a fleet of service trucks that are staffed by licensed electricians who are knowledgeable, courteous, and efficient. They have the latest technology to diagnose and repair your electrical problem. For larger projects such as new building, building additions, or relocating equipment, we'll help you design, budget, and build the project. Stinson Electric would like to be your trusted electrical advisor. I would welcome the opportunity to meet with you and discuss your electrical needs. Call Stinson Electric 612-424-7382.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for this fine Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. Paul Sadek is with us.
Yes, sir.
And we're talking about evangelization today. I mean, that's what this show is all about, the new evangelization.
That's right.
And we have some special guests with us in the studio today. We've got John Tolo with us, and John Tolo is the director of Young Adult Koinonia. And Koinonia is a fellowship. It's the church coming together. Young Adult Koinonia, affectionately called YAC, I think. No, I don't know about that. We'll find out. But he works at Frogtown, the Frogtown community. Many of you in St. Paul are familiar with Frogtown. He works with a community house and garden project, and he is joined with us by Father Michael Becker, who is the rector of the College Seminary, St. John Vianney, over at St. Thomas, which, by the way, was featured on CNN a couple of weeks ago with talking about the priesthood. Unbelievable.
Cool.
Unbelievable show. And Peter Lee, who works in the Hmong parish and knows Father Becker through being in seminary. The three of you, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Hey, John, it's good to see you.
Wonderful to
good
be
to
here.
See you again. Yeah. Good to see you, Paul.
You can't see it at home, but you can probably hear it. John has always got a smile on his face, and you're a happy guy.
You know, I love Jesus, and I feel the Holy Spirit living in my life, so it makes me really it's good news,
you're
by the way.
You're also a different guy. You're different than other people. You know, you've got that joy in your life, and we're going to talk about your work down at Frogtown and a little bit about your story, because it always wasn't so honky-dory, you know, in your life. And Father Becker, thanks for joining us.
Wonderful to be here again, Jeff. I was here a couple weeks ago, and it's a great program that you have.
Oh, we're having fun with it. And Peter Lee, you're working with the Hmong community down at St. Vincent's, right?
Yes, I am.
And that's associated with the cathedral now.
It is, yep.
So we're looking forward to hearing what you are doing, too. Well, let's start with you, John. You work down at Frogtown, and I want to get into what you're doing, because what you're doing is so unique, and you are setting up a plan that I think can be duplicated in other communities if people just have that desire. But how did you get involved in this whole ministry among the poor and those who are disenfranchised?
Well, I kind of grew up in it. I lived in an area of the city in New England that was a slum area, and it was very difficult. So I had a lot of experience since I was a young person and being in the inner city, and it kind of captivated my heart. I ended up spending a period of my life struggling with alcohol and drugs, and in my 20s had an encounter with Jesus that really changed my life. And after I went through that encounter with Jesus, it just really drew me into engaging in the same community and the same type of environment that I'd struggled in. So,
how long ago did you start your ministry, the adult koinonia, young adult koinonia?
You know, it really started when I had my encounter with Jesus. I really started to get the sense of calling for my life, that I was called to be a missionary. So I began the process 22 years ago. But we formed. I actually worked with Bishop Pates on the evangelization initiative, mm-hmm. and it kind of started. Started a process in my life that led me to leaving my own job and becoming a missionary with my wife and my kids. And we ended up opening up. We felt called to do something similar to the evangelization initiative that was in the Archdiocese at the time, called Alpha. And we started doing these Alpha evangelization courses. Mm-hmm. And we did one in O'Gara's Garage and in a Chinese restaurant. And eventually it led into doing something consistently by St. Lawrence down in Dinkytown.
So give us an overview of what you're doing in Frogtown now. And for those that don't know where Frogtown is, explain that to us.
Frogtown is actually on it's just west of the state capitol. So you can see, if you're on the main drag that goes through that area, it's University Avenue. If you stand on University Avenue where Frogtown is, you can basically see the state capitol all along. So it's just down the street from downtown. And three and a half years ago, we really felt called to see the gospel expressed transformationally. Like, you could see God do something in a house, or you could see God do something. One of the first things that we did was we started a community garden that was just a plot of land that we got our hands on, and we started connecting with neighbors and asking them if they'd like to garden with us in this neighborhood. And that really opened up this opportunity to start seeing practical evidence that God was doing something. We'd pray over the land. We found an abandoned house that we bought, and it had been a drug house. It was all boarded up. It had been empty for about 10 years, and we started working on it. We started getting volunteers to come, and we've had hundreds of volunteers that have come from all different streams of Christianity to help transform that house. And since that, you know, it's been amazing, because we started with one simple project by faith that God has now turned into a network of about 15 properties that are all working together in that neighborhood. And our young people that we work with, we were praying one day, and they were kind of joking around. We were saying, God, won't you move in such a powerful way in Frogtown that people would see it was God, and they'd start calling it Godtown. So our mission is actually called Godtown, and that's it's caused me issues.
Sure. Well, Father Becker, you've been working with John Tolo for a number of years. You're acquainted with his work. What as a priest and someone who is very involved in bringing the gospel to the world, what do you think about what they're doing?
I think actually it's the Acts of the Apostles. I really admire John, his brother David, and the young people are working with, John's wife and family. They have done something striking, which I'd invite every parish to think about. They charted out 55 square blocks in St. Paul.
55 blocks?
55 blocks, and they decided they were going to knock on every single door in that neighborhood. They felt called by the Holy Spirit, this is our territory. And so they're going to knock on the doors, they're going to get to know the people, they're going to keep some notes, you know, who's in the house, what are their needs, we're going to pray for their needs. Is this a house that has drug dealing going on? Is there sex trafficking here? And we're going to try and deal with all the people in our 55 blocks, and we're going to pray for them, we're going to bring Christ to them, we're going to offer them different assistance wherever they need. And they've actually taken out 17 women out of sex trafficking now from that territory.
Right in that area?
Yeah, they're pretty much all from that area.
17.
Yep.
So without endangering the lives of these young ladies, what do you do with them? Where do they go?
You know, every situation, you know, the thing about evangelism is it's really something that's on God's heart. Mm-hmm. And so I really believe that God has a plan for every person to come into a relationship with him. And so what we do is we start by praying, and we kind of ask, you know, we take inventory. We've encountered all these women because we started with one, and then she brought another, and before we knew it, there was this buzz going around that if you needed help, if you were, most of this, the women that we've been working with came, all have kids. I think we've got two or three that didn't have kids, mm-hmm. but all of them are single moms. So we just felt that there's a ministry to the widow and the orphan that is on Jesus's heart. And so we start connecting with them, and we start identifying what are the issues. And we really don't have the resources to meet their needs. So what we do is we ask Jesus to show us by the Holy Spirit what is the resource. And so he may have us call Salvation Army or Catholic Charities or
but he always provides.
Every single time he provides. We've had the most incredible miracles. We had one lady that was going through just terrible things. She had four kids. She came and she was weeping because she was being evicted from her house, and we started praying, and my wife started this incredible prayer. She said, God, by the time we get finished praying, would you provide her with a house? And while she was praying, I was standing over on the side, and I remembered this guy telling me about a house that he was having trouble with. And so I called him up, and I told him what the situation was, and he said if I would take responsibility, he would put her in there. Uh-huh. So by the time they finished praying, God provided a house.
That's beautiful. Folks, this is the new evangelization. I mean, this is, as Father Becker said, this is the Acts of the Apostles. And if you want your life to count, if you want your life to be part of that great adventure of following Jesus on a daily basis, take note of what John is sharing here. And Father, the idea of taking 55 square blocks, 55 blocks in St. Paul and saying, this is our area. You know what it reminds me of, John? It reminds me of Samuel, the book of 2 Samuel 23, where David listed his mighty men, and the third one was called Shammah. You know what Shammah did? Shammah defended a bean field. A bean field, that's tenacity in the face of a seemingly insignificant assignment. But if it's a bean field that God gives you, then it's a royal assignment. It is a wonderful assignment. It sounds like you got 55 square blocks of bean field.
You know, we were even planting beans in our community garden.
There you go. You got beanie babies, too.
Yeah, it's really good.
That's fantastic. Peter Lee, I want to bring you into the conversation. You're working at St. Vincent de Paul. It's associated with the cathedral, with the Hmong community. Tell us about your work.
Well, I'm not working under any official capacity, but I just do what I can with the needs and the needs of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And what started me on this was just getting involved with the youth group many years ago, and just, you know, like what we've been talking about, what we've been hearing is and just seeing that hunger for Christ and for the truth, and that just really inspired me to look at my own life and try to help bring others to Christ in whatever way I can.
Uh-huh. So you're kind of a lay evangelist out there sharing the gospel and bringing the good news to people.
I try to. You know, I know that there's many more things I can do, but...
He's humbled. He'd say he's not, but he really is. So.
One thing that Peter's involved in now, and John also, is bringing an Alpha program to St. Vincent's Catholic Church, which actually is just barely on the edge of John's 55 blocks in Frogtown, but St. Vincent's is the Hmong parish. Really sweet, beautiful people. Father John Kelly from the seminary and then is helping there and I part-time. You know, beautiful people, very devout, reverent. The neighborhood is surrounded by Hmong people all over the place, mm-hmm. and who are for many of them, they're involved in the old shaman religion. And the shaman religion's kind of ancestral religion from way back in Laos. And unwittingly, they're affected by demons at times, the shaman priests and so on. But they're spiritual people, and one thing we're going to do is we're going to go to the streets, we're going to invite people to the Alpha.
Uh-huh.
We're going to knock on doors of people we don't know. We're going to say...
That's like a beginning course for Christianity.
It's a beginning course for Christianity, and many of the parishioners are right now with a team of leadership that are getting prepared. They're being formed, instructed on how to do it, and then we're going to knock on the doors. We're going to invite the people in the neighborhood. And Alpha, we'll lead people to a personal relationship with Jesus and an infilling of the Holy Spirit, and then make them disciples and evangelists themselves. So our goal is to also... to renew the whole neighborhood by bringing the Hmong people into church and giving them an experience of God that is real.
Beautiful. You know, there's so many communities. Paul, you've been working in the Twin Cities for years. There's so many communities that the majority of us we're not familiar with. For example, I have been working over at St. Alphonsus in Brooklyn Park, and I'm sponsoring a young boy from Liberia. His sponsor for receiving the sacraments this year, the Liberian community, the Nigerian community, the Latino community, the Vietnamese community, the Hmong community. We typically in the burbs don't get involved, and we don't know these communities. Peter, maybe you can comment on this. Is there that sense among these communities that are Catholic that there's a separateness, that we're not involved? And is there an invitation for us to become a part of your life and your efforts?
Yeah, I definitely think there is. From my own experience, a lot of people who move to the burbs do it because they want to kind of get away from community in whatever respect that is that they are trying to get away from. But with these smaller communities, especially like with the Hmong, one of the things that drives us is community.
Uh-huh.
And so if you want to get involved in them, in their lives, you just have to go into their lives, you know. And it's kind of a struggle, especially in the burbs, because you're so far away from each other. You know, the houses are a little further apart.
Uh-huh.
And... whereas in the urban community, the houses are right next to each other. Kids are running across the street. You see so many people, and they're just waiting for someone to walk up to them to say hi and to greet them and to bring them with you.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, John. Talking with John Tolo from Frogtown, from the great ministry Young Adult Koinonia. Father Becker's here with us, and Peter Lee, who works among the Hmong community. But let's talk about this. How we've got listeners all over the Twin Cities and Minnesota area. How do we, if we're not involved right now, how do we start getting involved? I mean, this is the basic message of the gospel. It's to go out and to feed the hungry. It's to clothe the naked. It's to go out and to bring peace to people and relief to people and the good news of the gospel. How do we do this, whether it's joining with you or coming up with our own 55 blocks?
You know, the thing that's really crucial is that you're willing to take a risk. You know, it's really comfortable to stay to yourself and to look at your own problems. You know, one of the things that I've realized is that Jesus said, this is what you need to do. You need to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You need to love your neighbor as yourself. You know, those aren't options. Those are requirements for us as Christians. And that involves risk. And both of those things point away from ourselves. When we're focused on ourselves, our own needs and everything, we're very self-absorbed, we're self-centered, and that's contrary to what Christianity is all about. Jesus said, he said when he was ascending, go to all the nations, go to all nations and make disciples. So I think that the challenge is you have to be willing to, first of all, listen to what Jesus is saying, listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying, listen to what the church is saying, and then you need to be able to willing to take a risk. You know, you were talking about going past people that are on the corner asking for food. You know, when I see a person, I usually see the same person mm-hmm. regularly, or same group of five or six people, and I see them every day. I ask God, what do you want me to do?
Sure.
And I wait. And I've actually seen those people out on the streets or by McDonald's, and I've stopped and I've said, can I pray for you?
Uh-huh.
Is there something that I can do to help you? And, you know, I can't give everybody money,
right.
But the thing I can do is I can give them a piece of my life.
You know, that's what Peter said.
Yeah.
Remember that when the guy came begging and he said, silver and gold, I have none, but what I do have.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk.
It's exactly.
And then he gave him a hand up, didn't he? He pulled him up by his hand. So,
Father Becker, what do you think of this idea? And I'm thinking we're live right now and just thinking on our feet here. What do you think about other people shadowing people like John to learn what they're doing and to carve out their own area to go out and make a difference?
Awesome idea. John does have a number of youth that are already living in certain houses that he's brought into that district, and so they are learning from him how to do this. But every parish I think would do a wonderful evangelistic event if they got together and said, here's our territory. Begin with the parish council, if you will, get the youth group involved, whatever it is, and say, okay, here's our blocks, and we're going to try and just meet everybody in our blocks. We're going to knock on doors. Going to find out what their needs are. We're going to ask them if we can pray for them for anything. And sending people to John to help, you know, how this is happening in the inner city would be a great way to do it. I think maybe through the evangelization office.
Ideas, believe me.
Yeah. So I just think it could be a way that Catholics aren't as good, I don't think, at sharing their faith as other of our brothers and sisters are in the Protestant world at times. We need to become more comfortable, challenge ourselves. Sometimes it's the person next to us in the cubicle at work. Sometimes it's the student next to us in the school. But it's also the neighbor right down the block. Can we invite ourselves to pray for them, ask them what their needs are? And then I think a parish could make a plan and map out a plan. It has been done. I believe St. Timothy's in Maple Lake kind of did this and a few other parishes. But to carve out the territory and then say, we're going to find out, we're going to take a few notes. What families are in each house? What are their needs? What do they like? We're going to try and assess that.
I love it. I even have a name for it. We'll have to launch that later.
You know, I got the idea that we have from a parish in North Minneapolis, and I think it's Transfiguration, but I can't remember which parish it is right now, but they had hired somebody to come in and help them understand how they could have a visible impact with the crime rate in North Minneapolis. And I went and I saw this incredible thing going on where they were helping people, and it was a woman that actually wasn't a Christian that they'd hired to come help do this, but she just was really practical about helping. And I said, well, what if I did the real practical thing and then we also prayed? So what if we started finding people that were having issues, you know, and I believe that I could help them with food, and I could help them get off the streets, but what if I actually had a relationship with somebody like some guy that's asking for food on the corner and I just started praying for him every day? You know, what happens when you do that, when you begin that intentionality about praying for people that are at risk or people in your own family that have drug issues or, you know, suburban neighborhoods have major issues with crime, and they have major issues with drugs and all these things, just as well as, you know, urban neighborhoods. But if you started making an intentional effort to, how can I get out of my comfort zone? How can I go talk to somebody who's not like me, who is struggling in some area, and how can I just tell them I love them and listen to them for a little bit?
Sure.
Yeah, I guess I just add, following that, our own efforts with the Alpha. Alpha is a kind of a neat little course, basic Christianity, which is a lot of communities. So you begin, it's a 10-week, if you will, 10 weeks in a row. We're doing it on Monday nights. You always have a meal and then a short video and discussion, and that's something that you could invite anybody on the street to, right? Somebody in the neighborhood, you could say, come on down, we're going to have an Alpha course. And you just invite them to the meal first. You don't have to tell them the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then they get captivated.
You know, last year I went to England. I had lunch with Nicky Gumbel in England, and he's the one that originated the Alpha course, which is a great course. So that's something you might want to look up and try to get going.
Alpha.org.
Is that what it is?
Archbishop John Neinstedt said that people should do Alpha, so I did one at St. Jerome, and that's what launched me into this whole thing.
Oh, wonderful. That's fantastic. Well, we've been talking with John Tolo at Young Adult Koinonia. Down at Frogtown, they're doing an incredible work. Also joining us was Peter Lee and Father Becker. And Father Becker, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to pray, because I think we're onto something here. You're listening to the show right now, Rediscover Hour, and maybe wondering, you know, what can I do with my life? How can I make a difference? I don't just want to study the faith. I want to do it. I want to put it into practice. Well, John Tolo's saying, you want to shadow me? You want to come down and help us out? We're glad to have you. Why don't you write the number down? Why don't you write his email down and make a point out of taking some action and at least investigating? John, how can people get in touch with you?
The easiest way is to email me, and they can email me at john@frogtownhouse.com.
Frogtown House, singular.
Yep, John@frogtownhouse.com. Or they could call me at 651-231-6021. Or they could also call your office, the Office of Evangelism,
sure can,
at the Archdiocese.
Now that you volunteered me,
John.
Yeah. So that number is 651-231-6021, or john@frogtownhouse.com. But I'm gonna put the challenge out there today. Do something. And if 10 of you responded, just think, we could do a great work. And if you're interested in carving out your own area of the town and saying, you know what, this is our bean field, we're going to own it, we're going to do something for God in this area, you got to learn how to do it. And I think John's doing the best job in the Twin Cities. Father, can you close us out and pray? And I'm really praying that God will move on people's hearts today.
Amen. Let's begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for life, for the gift of our faith, our Catholic faith. We pray that you'd pour out your Holy Spirit in a new way upon us, in all our parishes and our neighborhoods, that Jesus, that you would transform us into your likeness, that we would be your ambassadors to the world. Give us creative ideas. Give us the time and commitment. Bring renewal to our neighborhoods and parishes in life-giving ways. Give us the creative, practical steps that we need to take to do so. And we ask your continued blessing upon the Frogtown Ministry and the Evangelization Office at St. Paul, Minneapolis. And may Almighty God bless all of you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. We've been talking with John Tolo, Father Becker, and Peter Lee about making a difference. You know what? It reminds me, Paul, of a story I heard one time where a guy walked along the beach and he saw all of these beached starfishes.
Okay.
All of them. And there was thousands of them, and they were going to die.
Right.
And this guy went up and he started throwing the starfish back into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody came alongside of him and said, you know what? There's thousands of them. You know, you're not going to make that big of a difference. And the guy said, it made a difference to the one I just threw back.
That's true.
It made a difference. And I think that that's the attitude that we need to have towards the poor, towards those who are, you know, Mother Teresa said that, you know, we've got a whole different kind of poor in this country. We have the poor physically, but we have the poor spiritually too.
Very true.
And we need to reach out to them. And if you do, yeah, you're not dealing with hundreds of thousands of people, but it'll make a difference in that one person's life. And that's the beauty of the gospel, is that you touch one life. And if every one of us does that today, look, there's 800,000 of us in the Twin Cities, Catholics. If you just touched one person this week, unbelievable. Unbelievable what we could do. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk with Luke Boley, and he is a wonderful young man who has five kids. He and his wife, Amy, have five kids under 7 years old.
Here's somebody who took a risk, I'll tell you.
He took a big risk. He gave up everything. Yeah. And he's in a three-month training program right now in Louisiana, and he's about to go to the Philippines to be a missionary. Does that sound crazy or what? Well, we'll find out. We'll find out. We're going to come back in just a moment. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour.
This is Sarah Ennis with a cultural note from Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas. Flannery O'Connor, a Southern Catholic, left her native Georgia at the age of 20 with every expectation that she would spend her life among the literary figures of the North. Struck with lupus 5 years later, she returned home to Milledgeville, where she lived on a modest farm with her widowed mother. Although the progression of the disease left her crippled and increasingly in pain, O'Connor produced a body of novels, short stories, essays, and letters that would leave a distinctive mark on American literature. She would write until her death in 1964 at the age of 39.
Relevant Radio is proud to bring you cultural notes from the University of St. Thomas Center for Catholic Studies. For information on local Catholic Studies events, go to the Events tab at relevantradio.com.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Jeff Cavins with you, along with Paul Sadek.
I'm still here.
You are still here, and that was great. That was great talking to
them. That was amazing stuff. The room was full of energy.
It really was. And I hope that the city will be full of energy when people call.
That's the idea.
And see if they can get involved. Well, we're going to continue our theme today, this new evangelization about reaching out, making a difference. And there are a few people in our society who go against the stream, kind of like a sock-eyed salmon going against the current. And typically those people stand out. There's something about them that we admire, something about what they're doing with their daily life and the sacrifice that we appreciate. We honor it. We say, man, that's really, really good. In fact, we have honor shows on television, you know, and heroes and everything else. But the question is, can you become one of them? Can you join them and change the world? And I think the answer is yes. We're going to talk here with Luke Boley. And Luke Boley and his wife, Amy, have five children, and they have moved from Reidsville, Wisconsin, to join what's called the Family Missions Company in Abbeville, Louisiana. Now, in August, Luke, his wife, and their family, they discerned a call into the foreign missions through a come-and-see week at the Family Missions Company. And right now they're in a 3-month intake program learning about it. And I believe it's going to be in January that they're going to be sent out now to the Philippines. And I want to welcome to the show Luke Boley. Welcome, Luke.
Hey, Jeff and Paul. How are you doing this morning?
Well, Luke, how do you feel about being compared with a sock-eyed salmon?
I don't know what to say about that. I'm pretty humbled by your whole little intro there.
Well, you know what you're doing, Luke. First of all, you're calling from the intake program right now. Isn't that correct? You're getting ready to launch.
That's correct. Yeah, I'm in Louisiana in the office right now.
Okay. Well, you probably faced all of the questions that we would like to ask you. So this is going to be interesting. But the big one is if someone looks at a young professional and his wife and five children under seven, they're going to go to the Philippines for missions. Their biggest question is, seriously?
Right. You know, it's It's kind of crazy. We had about 2 weeks to empty out our house because God told us he wanted to come now, us to come into missions now. And there was a gentleman that came to get some of our stuff, and I was just sharing with him what was happening. And he said, you know what? That sounds crazy. I'm not going to lie to you. It kind of sounds crazy. And I said to him, you know what? You are absolutely right. That is crazy. What we are doing is crazy. It doesn't make sense. If there is no God, it doesn't make sense.
Right.
But the truth is there is a God, and missions is a real thing, and he is calling us lay Catholics to it. So for me, it does make great sense, but to the world's eyes, you're right. It's crazy.
For those, Luke, that are not familiar with Family Missions Company, give us kind of the big picture of this fantastic ministry. What do they do, and where are they located?
Sure. Family Missions Company was started by Frank and Jeannie Summers about 20 years ago. They've been in missions for about 40 years with their family. And it's based out of Abbeville, Louisiana. And it's an organization that focuses on sending out both families with kids and singles, lay Catholics, into foreign missions. So they bring people in for a three-month training period, and then they send you out all over the world. We have missionaries in Haiti, Mexico, Peru, the Philippines, Ecuador, India, China, families of all different sizes. One of our families is having their 12th child, and we also have quite a few singles too. So the big picture with FMC is reaching the poor, a preferential option for the poor, and bringing them gospel, introducing them to Christ. Well, we say there's just over 7 billion people in the world. 2 billion of those people have encountered Christ, but 5 billion people don't know who Jesus is.
Uh-huh.
And so we go out with a preferential option for the poor and those who are, both poor spiritually and physically, but to bring the gospel first and foremost. Now, when we hit the ground, we, of course, do service projects, and give alms and build houses and repair roofs and help with medical needs and do medical missions. Those are all things that we do in Family Missions Company, but our first and primary goal is to bring Jesus.
Right, right.
Bring Jesus to people. And sometimes that's the way it looks. You serve somebody. You bring someone by serving them Jesus, by serving them. And so, but that's the main goal. In everything we do, we try and bring people Jesus.
I want everyone to experience what you and Amy experienced during your discerning period as to whether you were going to do it.
You hit it right on the head. That's exactly what I was going to
ask. Go ahead, run with it.
Because you undoubtedly had some kind of formal discernment with Family Missions Company. I want to hear about the discernment that you went through internally within your family.
Sure. Of course. It's not... so we were in a come and see, which is just where you kind of get to experience what Family Missions Company is, see what they're all about. They do that 3 times a year. And so we came to an August one, and then the training period started in September. So it happened very, very quickly. And to be honest with you, previously I felt zero call to foreign missions.
Okay.
So 6 months ago, I wasn't expecting it. So what ended up happening is we came down to FMC because some friends of ours some of our best friends, we were together with them multiple times a week, and they were journeying into foreign missions with Family Missions Company. And so we had heard about it, of course, and we'd said, I wonder if God's calling us to that, and just didn't feel a call to it. But because it was very bittersweet, our friends were leaving, so that was sad, but it was great because they were, going to do the work of Christ, and so we wanted to support them. So we came down just to kind of support them and to be open to God. And, it's not something we did lightly when we heard the call to missions. Of course, there's all those anxieties of, what about my kids' health? What about their education. You know, who brings their children in a third world country? Again, that's crazy, right? Who does that? Who sells everything they have and quits their job and goes to a foreign country? So it wasn't
Luke Boley does.
Yeah, right. By the grace of God.
Well, Luke, tell me about the 3 months of training. What you're almost done.
Right.
What have they been doing with you? How have they been preparing you for this?
Well, two big things we have been going through. We went through Redemptoris Missio, Mission of the Redeemer, the encyclical by Pope John Paul II. We read as a community, cover to cover, and just dialogued on that, which is just a beautiful document on missions. I would encourage everyone to read it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also went through the Book of Acts, which is kind of FMC's manual for missions, if we will.
Yeah, that's really the original book about being a missionary.
And interestingly enough, we had Luke, we had John Tolo, a local guy, on right before you and Father Becker, and he had his Bible open up to the Book of Acts throughout the entire interview. So we have something in common there. So
yeah.
you're getting very, very, you're getting some deep stuff there.
Right. So then, on top of that, you know, they're preparing us to give talks and teachings and testimonies. And also, you know, we're doing as much as we can in Louisiana, you know, doing home visits and visiting nursing homes and having retreats. But then this past 4 weeks, we were down in Mexico, which is part of the training.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent down in General Cepeda, where FMC has had a presence for almost 20 years. And so the whole community of missionaries, which is about 40 people, families and singles, went down to Mexico, and there it was incredible. I mean, it was my first experience of what poverty really is. I mean, you're walking into people's homes with dirt floor, no running water, no toilets, one room for mom, dad, and all the kids, and it's very humbling.
Right.
And you know, to be honest with you, I had some fears about it. I was thinking to myself, and before we had gone, you know, how am I going to respond to the poor? I've never really seen the poor. And do I really have a love for the poor? Do I really have a heart for the poor?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, these are questions you ask internally. But what's beautiful about it is everything that is required of us, God supplies. So I had a great grace of, we go to these little ranchos, which are these little poor communities, with just a little chapel. We go around to all the houses and invite the people. And for me, God just filled me with this love for the poor. I mean, I just wanted to hug all these ladies, and I did hug all the ladies, actually. They probably thought I was crazy, and of course, there's a language barrier. But it's just amazing, because being here and being in Mexico, I had the opportunity to see Jesus.
Right.
And that is a beautiful, beautiful opportunity.
Now, how long will you be gone on this mission trip?
Well, we're back from Mexico now. We just got back about 3 days ago. And then when we be going to the Philippines this January, we'll be there for about at least a year.
At least a year. Now, you're taking the five kids, your wife, Amy, and I got to ask you, was this your idea, and is Amy going along with you, and are you dragging the kids?
Has Amy ever said, you are absolutely crazy,
you know,
Luke?
Or is this truly a family deal?
It's truly a family deal, and again, by the grace of God. You know, when we came down for the Cummency, first of all, neither Amy or I felt called to missions beforehand, but I expected that if God was going to call us, he would probably call me first, I would talk my wife into it, and then we would go into missions, right? And it's not at all what happened, and it's really by the grace of God.
It was either that or season tickets for the Packers,
right? Well, right.
Okay, well, you chose the better. So someone from Minnesota is talking, you chose the better.
Right. Well, thank you for that. I know it hurts to say that. And so anyways, if it had happened that way, I would have always had that in the back of mind that I dragged my family into this. And it's not at all what happened. When we got here, we were just experiencing everything, and it's just very authentically Catholic, which is beautiful. And, you know, I was here just kind of looking for red flags. Is there something off? And there just was nothing. And still wasn't sure, and we have what they call a desert day, where you go off and spend time by yourself with your Bible, just in quiet prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So Amy went off in prayer, and she had some very big anxieties and, like, just no peace about foreign missions. There was just, it wasn't something she was going to be doing. And, you know, God can take those areas and give us peace, and that's what he did. He just, through Scripture, Amy had, like, these lists of anxieties, and he just answered all of them. You know, one of them was, God, I don't have wisdom. I can't share your word with everybody. I don't know what to say.
Uh-huh.
You know, and she flips open her Bible, and it says, you have wisdom if you have fear and love for the Lord.
Right, right,
and,
yep.
You know, and it was just pointed, and then it said, you know, she was like, well, what about my children? I can't bring my children into missions. That, you know, they could get sick, they could die, it could be danger.
Their iPod could run short
on
battery.
Right,
yeah.
And then, you know, God was flipping pages through the Holy Spirit and the wind, and she looks down and reads that better to have no children if they be ungodly.
Mm-hmm.
And one godly child is worth more than a multitude of ungodly children.
Isn't that beautiful? What about the finances? I mean, you're a career guy, you've been working, you've got a family, and suddenly this is going to stop. How do you pay for something like this?
Well, you know, one of our charisms at FMC is gospel poverty. So we've sold what we have and come here into missions, and we rely on the support of others. You know, we invite people to partner with us in missions, journey with us by supporting us, and so we fundraise our missions.
Uh-huh. Kind of like a focus missionary.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Was that a little scary?
Well, it's terrifying. Of course it is.
It sounds like a real leap of faith to me.
Well, you know, and what ended up happening was, you know, we came to the Cummins, and it was clear God was doing something. You know, he was giving us lots of different signs. And we were very aware that God was moving in our lives. And so we came home. We wanted to decide at home what we thought God was saying. And what I really wanted to do was seek some counsel from my father, because he's often who I go to. And before I could get to my dad, God just kind of got me to a place where he said, this requires a leap of faith. I've given you enough to step out in faith, but that's up to you. I'm not going to give you 100%. It requires that you step out in faith. And in my life, I belong to a Catholic men's group, Estovir, which is Be a Man. And I've challenged a lot of men, especially, because I think we need more men in the world. And I guess I would just, you know, one thing that gave me courage to say yes was, one, my wife's change of heart. And then I would just rather fail doing what I thought God was telling me to do than fail because I was too afraid to do anything, just too afraid to step out in faith, you know, too afraid to not get in the fight. I mean, the truth is, we're at war for souls, and souls hang in the balance. And, you know, Pope John Paul II is a champion of missions. He was too, but Pope Francis is a champion of missions. And he often says, I would prefer a church bruised and bleeding for the gospel than a church that becomes sick from within.
That's a great quote. You know, Luke, I'm thoroughly convinced that our listeners are thinking to themselves, man, I wish I could do something like that. I really want to be sold out. I want to be focused. I want to give all of my attention to the gospel. I want to be laser focused, but they find it difficult to bring themselves to that point. What would you say to listeners right now that are saying to themselves, man, I'd love to do something like that, but
that's the question, isn't it? And it's a hard thing. I think I would say it does require an openness. You know, here's one thing I would say. If you feel a stirring in your heart,
mm-hmm.
To missions or to the poor or to serve Christ, then you're probably called to be a missionary. It turns out that a lot of people don't feel that way. It's actually not normal to feel like, I want to go be with the poor.
Right.
So if there's some kind of stirring in your heart that says, I want to go do that, you're probably called to it.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And that's what I would leave our listeners with, too, is that if you're thinking about it, there might be a chance. And if there's a chance, spend time with the Lord, and He can clarify this. And if you're worried about the physical aspect of it or the finances, listen, my Heavenly Father has a cattle on a thousand hills.
Amen.
And He can take care of this. Luke, we're going to play a little game here. It's called This Is Your Life. Do you recognize this voice?
Hey, Luke.
That's my sister.
It's your sister, Susanna Bolle, who happens to be the administrative assistant for the Office of Evangelization. And that's how I heard about you. And Susanna, I'm curious, you're listening to your brother. What do you think of your brother and his work now?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I had the extreme blessing of being able to go to Louisiana to go to the Proclaim Conference and kind of get to know Family Missions Company myself and more personally. And I am just so incredibly proud of Luke and his family and everything that they're doing. I honestly, you know, when he told me that their family was discerning a call to Family Missions Company, I thought it was too quick. 2 weeks, you're leaving in 2 weeks, like, pray about it a little bit longer. Why do you have to leave so soon? Uh-huh. And just selfishly, I didn't want my brother to move halfway across the world.
Yeah, at the Camiguin Island.
Camiguin Island.
Camiguin Island. I can't even pronounce it in the Philippines. Well, I know that Luke, that Susanna's proud of you, and we're going to be praying for you. And if people would like to support you, if people would like to learn more about this, what can they do?
The best way would be to go on to the website, and you can find us by typing in bollefamily.fmcmissions.com, and Bolle is B-O-L-L-E. And then if anybody is interested or feeling called to missions, I encourage you to shoot an email to the office, and you can just type in fmcmissions.com. That will bring you to the homepage.
All right.
And shoot an email to the office. The girls in the office are wonderful and would be happy to just answer any questions that anybody would have.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. So people can go to Family Missions Company. That's fmcmissions.com.
Yes, that's correct.
fmcmissions.com. The last name is Bolle, B-O-L-L-E. Well, Luke, thanks for joining us. And Susanna, thanks for joining us. And say hi to Amy and the kids. And we'll certainly remember you in prayer. And we'd like to hear from you sometime during this year. Maybe we'll get you back on the phone or Skype. And then afterwards, we'd love to hear how it all went.
Absolutely.
And I hope that your life and Amy's life becomes a model and a challenge for others who want to go on that great adventure with Jesus.
So, well, praise God. And thank you so much for having me on. It was a real privilege.
I appreciate it. Appreciate it very much. Luke Bolle, and very appreciative of his work. Well, boy, that show went quick.
It did.
Do we have some calendar events?
In just a minute.
All right.
Listening to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio.
Rediscover.
Hi, I'm Paul Archambault from Stinson Electric. You're a facility manager or business owner with electrical or lighting needs, we can help. Have you heard the buzz lately about energy-efficient lighting? Do you wonder if it makes sense for your facility? You may not know who you should call or who you can trust. Energy-efficient lighting installations are usually eligible for utility rebates that defray part of your initial investment. Often these projects pay for themselves in as little as 1 year. You gain the added benefit of better quality lighting, less maintenance, and energy efficiency. We have designed and installed lighting upgrades for churches, schools, and commercial buildings for customers just like you who are often astonished with the results. We also install and service outdoor lighting on buildings and in parking lots to enhance safety and security. Call Stinson Electric, 612-424-7382.
I wanna open my eyes, take the shades up, pull the sun from the sky, step out in faith and step into something.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Here's a look at some events coming up around the Twin Cities. The Church of St. Mark in St. Paul invites you to celebrate the 125th anniversary of the first Mass in the original church, Sunday, December 14th, 11 a.m. They will welcome Bishop Lee Pache, St. Mark's former associate pastor, as the main celebrant. St. Mark's Church is at 2001 Dayton Avenue in St. Paul.
And St. Maximilian Colby School in Delano invites you to do your Christmas shopping at their birthday or their holiday vendor fair. Find great and unique gifts for everyone on your list. That's Sunday, December 14th from 8:30 in the morning to 1:30 in the afternoon in St. Martha's Hall at St. Peter's Church. Located at 217 2nd Street, South Delano, go to DelanoCatholic.com for more information. That's DelanoCatholic.com.
Sunday, December 14th, come to KC Bingo at Mary Queen of Peace Church Hall in downtown Rogers. Kids are welcome to play. Snacks and beverages available. It's sponsored by the Northwest Hennepin Knights of Columbus. Call 763-428-2585 for information. 763-428-2585.
Grief to Grace is a spiritual program for anyone who has suffered physical, emotional, sexual, or spiritual abuse. The program will be held January 11 through 16 in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Grief to Grace offers a very unique process for helping victims of abuse, grief, the past, and discover spiritual healing and transformation. Dr. Therese Burke, the founder of Rachel's Vineyard, Retreats for Healing After Abortion, will serve as the facilitator. Visit grieftograce.org for more information. That's grieftograce.org, or visit the Archdiocesan website at archspm.org.
And what is coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour, Jeff?
Next week, we're going to be talking about a joyful witness, and Randy Hain will be joining us. He's going to talk about how to really bring that joy out in your life and let other people see that joy and the power of joy. That's coming up.
The Rediscover Hour, Friday mornings at 9, Saturday evenings at 6, Sunday mornings at 9 on Relevant Radio. And a big shout out today to Father Brian Peterson, a regular listener of ours at Sacred Heart in Robbinsdale.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330, and is presented by your trusted electrical advisor, Stinson Electric, serving commercial, institutional, and facility managers in our area. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.